There's no scarcity in the universal invisible world of spirit. As you contemplate connecting to intention, know in your heart that any attitude that you have that reflects a scarcity consciousness will hold you back. A reminder here is in order. You must match intention's attributes with your own in order to capitalize on those powers in your own life. When you shift to an abundance mindset, you repeat to yourself over and over and over again that you're unlimited because you emanated from the inexhaustible supply of intention. As this picture solidifies, you begin to act on this attitude of unbending intent. There's no other possibility. We become what we think about. And as Emerson reminded us, quote, "the ancestor to every action is a thought," unquote. As these thoughts of plenitude and excessive sufficiency become your way of thinking, the all-creating force to which you're always connected will begin to work with you in harmony with your thoughts, just as it worked with you in harmony with your thoughts of scarcity. If you think you can't manifest abundance into your life, you'll see intention agreeing with you and assisting you in the fulfillment of meager expectations. I personally seem to have arrived into this world fully connected to the abundance attributes of the spiritual world from which I emanated. As a child growing up in foster homes with poverty consciousness all around me, I was the richest kid in the orphanage, so to speak. I always thought I could have more money jingling in my pockets. I pictured it there, and I consequently acted on that picture. I'd collect soda pop bottles, shovel snow, bag groceries, cut lawns, carry out people's ashes from their coal furnaces, clean up yards, paint fences, babysit, deliver newspapers, and on and on and on. And always, the universal force of abundance worked with me in providing opportunities. A snowstorm was a giant blessing for me. So too were discarded bottles by the side of the road and little old ladies who needed help carrying their groceries to their automobiles. Today, over a half a century later, I still have that abundance mentality. In a sense, I'm still collecting pop bottles, shoveling snow, and carrying out groceries for little old ladies. My vision hasn't changed, although the playing field is enlarged. It's all about having an inner picture of abundance, thinking in unlimited ways, and being open to the guidance that intention provides when you're in a state of rapport with it. And then being in a state of ecstatic gratitude and awe for how this whole thing works. Every time I see a coin on the street, I stop, I pick it up, put it into my pocket, and I say out loud, "Thank you, God, for this symbol of abundance that keeps flowing into my life." Never once have I ever said, "Why only a penny, God? You know I need a lot more than that." On this day, today, on a writing day, I arise at 4 a.m. with a knowing that my writing will complete what I've already envisioned in the contemplations of my imagination. The writing flows, and letters arrive from intention's manifest abundance, urging me to read a particular book or talk to a unique individual, and I know that it's all working in perfect, abundant unity. The phone rings, and just what I need to hear is resonating in my ear. I get up to get a glass of water, and my eyes fall on a book that's been on my bookshelves for 20 years, but this time I feel compelled to pick it up. I open it, and once again I'm being directed by Spirit's willingness to assist and guide me as long as I stay in harmony with it. It goes on and on and on in my life, and I'm reminded of Rumi's poetic words from 800 years ago, "Sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment." And finally, the seventh way of reconnecting to intention. It's called being receptive. The universal mind is ready to respond to anyone who recognizes their true relationship to it. It will reproduce whatever conception of itself that you impress upon it. In other words, it's receptive to all who remain in harmony with it and stay in a relationship of reverence for it. The issue becomes a question of your receptivity to the power of intention. Stay connected and know you'll receive all that this power is capable of offering. Take it on by yourself as separate from the universal mind, an impossibility, but nevertheless a strong belief of the ego, and you remain eternally disconnected. The nature of the universal mind is peaceful. It isn't receptive to force or violence. It works in its own time and rhythm, allowing everything to emanate by and by. It's in no hurry because it's outside of time. It's always in the eternal now. Try getting down on your hands and knees and hurrying along a tiny tomato plant sprout. Universal Spirit is at work peacefully, and your attempts to rush it or tug new life into full creative flower will destroy the entire process. Being receptive means taking on a position of allowing your senior partner to handle your life for you. I accept the guidance and assistance of the same force that created me. I let go of my ego, and I trust in this wisdom to move at its own peaceful place. I make no demands on it. This is how the all-creating field of intention creates. This is how you must think in order to reconnect to your source. You practice meditation because it allows you to receive the inner knowing of making conscious contact with God. By being peaceful, quiet, and receptive, you pattern yourself in the image of God, and you regain the power of your source. This is what this chapter, and indeed, this entire program is all about. That is, tapping into the essence of originating spirit, emulating the attributes of the creative force of intention, and manifesting into your life anything that you desire that's consistent with the universal mind, which is creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, abundance, and peaceful receptivity. This concludes the steps for connecting to intention. But before you make this somersault into the inconceivable, I urge you to examine any and all self-imposed obstacles that need to be challenged and eradicated as you work anew at living and breathing this power of intention that was placed in your heart before a heart was even formed. As William Penn once put it, those people who are not governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Remember, as we continue, that those tyrants are often the self-imposed roadblocks of your lower self at work.